You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Utah Man Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis for your Utah Utes. Now, your hosts, Cameron, Ryan, and Scott.
Welcome on into the Utah Man Podcast. On this episode, we're talking Utah basketball and a little Utah football as spring football has wrapped up. I'm Cameron, and we got Ryan.
What's up, Ute Nation?
And Scott.
We are back, boys.
It's been a hot minute.
It has been. I feel like I've been into retirement.
Retirement, huh?
You look like it.
I wish I was in retirement, but, you know, it's good to be back. It's good to talk a little Utah basketball, a little Utah football. I think this is our first podcast about basketball, and there's a national champion has been awarded, so we're a little late.
Well,
there wasn't much to talk about during the season.
Well, we just have a whole season of hot takes ready to go, baby.
All right, let's jump into basketball. Utah finished the season 22-15, made a nice little run in the NIT to the semifinals. Was this season a success in your guys' eyes?
If it was 1940.
So back when you were born, Ryan?
If Vern Gardner was running down the court, and Billy the Hill McGill.
Hey, I guarantee you Billy the Hill McGill could beat this team right now.
I don't know, Cam, if this was a successful season. I mean, if you want to look at it, there's a lot of arguments that fans are out there saying, hey, you know, he's added to his win total every year that he's been here. They're taking positive steps, which I don't disagree with. But an NIT appearance, another year of not making the NCAA tournament, 2016, if my memory serves, was the last time we played in the NCAA tournament. For the 25th most winning program in NCAA history, to go that long without making an NCAA tournament appearance, it's still a joke. I mean, we are in the slowest rebuild known to man.
You can't argue that.
I'll argue with it. Yes, they.
Okay. Oh, I want to.
They did
this.
They didn't make the NCAA tournament, and I know that's the benchmark of where you grade a team. NIT is not great. I can't even tell you who won. I know Indiana State lost, but I couldn't even tell you
Seton
who.
Hall. Seton Hall.
I don't even know. See, and that's how unimportant NIT is. However, they won 22 games, 17-2 at home. They were
2-9 on the road, Cam. They won one road conference game, and it was because of a last second tip in. Otherwise, they would have gotten a goose egg on the road.
You got to get that monkey off your back.
This isn't a freshman laden John Calipari team. This is a senior laden experience. We've got COVID survivors hanging on for eligibility on this team. They've been around forever, and they can't win on the road? Give me a break.
Okay, well, I'm still going to say it's a success. They finished better in the conference than what they were predicted. They were in discussions as a bubble team in the later part of the season. That hasn't happened in years.
Oh my gosh, you were is this really happening?
Moral victory after moral victory. There is no moral victory because...
Oh, of course that's a moral victory.
It's not a moral victory because I don't think that Craig Smith deserves like an extension. I think his seat deserves to get warm. But I'm not going to throw this season completely in the trash and say it was a waste. This team has no culture. It has nothing. And you've got to start from somewhere.
So you know where it starts, Cam? It starts at recruiting, which is awful. Like, I'm sorry, the recruiting, they've got some good kids signed in this class. Oh, both of them are going on LDS missions.
Yeah, we won't see them for 2 years.
We're not even going to see anybody from this class for 2 years. We don't have the luxury of just not signing kids to come in and play immediately. I mean,
I will say though, I think the coaching staff has realized that and they're changing how they're recruiting and actually recruiting the portal this year.
I'm so glad it only took till year 4 to figure that out.
All right, Ryan, you got to help me out.
No, I'm not on your side on this one.
come over, Ryan. It's comfy over here.
With the devil.
I probably shouldn't say this because it's going to show where my fandom sits for basketball right now. But I only went to one game this year.
Oh, the horror!
Luckily, it was the BYU game, which they won. But I don't know. The days of when basketball was good and relevant and fun to be at was so long ago, and it's just there's not. I mean, yes, they only lost 2 games at home, won 22 games, but nobody wants to follow them. There's nothing to follow.
Okay, but is that a result of college basketball in general?
No,
and now football kind of taking over.
Well, there's no doubt football is king, especially here at Utah. There's been a complete shift from the landscape and from interest level in the fan base just because of what football's done and the success that they've had year over year over year for, you know, 2 decades now. But the problem is basketball has been so bad. I don't think this is where I'm at, and I think there's a lot of fans who think similar. I don't trust this program. When at one point halfway through the season, we had a 99% chance from ESPN of making the NCAA tournament. And we, Cam, even though you said we were in discussions late in the season, we weren't a serious threat the last 2 weeks of the season. We just weren't. Unless we made a run in the Pac-12 title or Pac-12 tournament, which we did not. Again, we haven't even won. We'd like never win games in the Pac-12 tournament, let alone make a run. And it's just people are expected to be let down by this program. And it's just, that's kind of almost the root of the problem, I think, from a fan base. This team was exciting to watch at times when they were healthy. Things were going well. There was some excitement, but we weren't filling the Huntsman Center. And I just think people don't trust that, hey, we're back and that we're going to stay. Yeah, we may have some good runs, but can it be sustained? And I don't trust it, and I don't think a lot of fans do.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And not to rain on the parade of the players, but I mean, Brandon Carlson was a great 5-year player, but it wasn't like, he's not Keith Van Horn or Andre Miller, you know. It's there's nothing, there's no pizzazz, there's nothing driving me to want to buy tickets to go watch them. It's just, I'd love to. Don't get me wrong. I would love to be a season ticket holder to both football and basketball. But not to watch that product.
So let me kind of ask this again. Is this because college basketball in a whole is down?
That's part of it.
Or is it because of Craig Smith?
I think it's both.
Yeah, college basketball is definitely not where it was in the, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, but if you're a program that has star players and a winning culture, you still bring out a strong fan base. We don't have that.
Well, we do. We have a strong fan base. We see it in football. It's just not being applied to basketball. And I mean, you know, in the Majerus years, the Huntsman was packed every night. It was awesome. It was one of the best environments in all of college basketball. And you look down south, I mean, nobody really wants to admit it, but BYU's atmosphere is awesome. They pack that place. The place is loud. Granted, they've got a lot of weird students that provide like 80% attendance there. But I mean, at the end of the day, they're still providing a good atmosphere. And I think if there's good basketball, and you're going to have good basketball in the Big 12, better than what we had in the Pac-12. If Utah could compete and do that, especially over just more than one season here and there, if they could build something and be good year in and year out, or at least be competing year in and year out, I think the fan base is back. I really do. But college basketball, it's not what it used to be, but there's still potential. And I still think our fan base is hungry for something in basketball, but I think they've got to start recruiting at a Big 12 level. I mean, this is ridiculous. No offense, but let's stop recruiting every white guy that's out there. Let's get some athletes. Let's get some athleticism on the floor. I don't need any more Bajamas on our roster. I mean, we need guys that can do more than one thing. You can't just have a shooter. You got guys that can play defense. You got to have guys that can handle the ball, break down a defense, defend one-on-one. I mean, Erickson, Bajama, I go through our roster and I just go, ugh. Like, it's just, there's not much to it. And until Smith fixes that, we're going to keep doing this.
Yeah, the starting five isn't world beaters by any means, but you go to the bench, that's a serious drop off. And you can't compete in high level basketball with non-athletes.
Ryan, you bring up that bench. All right, let's go through that bench. You've got Cole Bajama. You've got Keba, who was awesome early on, kind of faltered late. You've got Ben Carlson, woof. You've got Hunter Erickson, woof, woof. You've got Jake Whalen. He looks like he's got a BYU haircut. It's because he was committed to BYU at one time. And Luka Tarlak. Luka doesn't even know he's on the roster. I mean, come on. Like, that is why. Now, granted, we've got some good starters. You know, obviously, you got Gabe, you got Brandon, we saw what Devion did as the season went on and completely changed the team, put him on his back. Lawson Levering, he's okay. But the overall talent level of this team has got to improve, and it's got to improve drastically. All right. If we're going to have a bunch of white boys, then they all better be Keith Van Horn and Mike Doliaks. Otherwise, we're just going to get boat raced in the Big 12.
All right. We're up against a break. When we come back, I mentioned it. Is Craig Smith's seat getting hot? Let's discuss that when we come back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, so if you've been following us on social media, and you know, make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at Utah Man Podcast. We have some exciting news. This month, the College Huddle has officially kicked off, and we're a part of that community. There's over 80 podcasts that have gotten together, formed this community. This football season, I'm excited for it. It's going to give us a lot of opportunities to bring on, you know, guests from all over the country. Any team that Utah's playing, you know, their show is covered. So the College Huddle, check it out. It's going to be awesome this year. So I brought it up earlier. I really want to dive into it because I think Ryan is dodging the question. Craig Smith's seat. Is it getting warm? Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. He's entering year four and hasn't done anything. I mean, I understand that when he arrived here, he had nothing to work with. But by now,
I wouldn't say nothing. It was not as bad as when Larry Krystowiak took over. It was not as bad.
That's probably true, but it still wasn't great, and it's not that much greater than it was. I know he did good things when he was at Utah State, and I think he can coach. I really think the main issue is recruiting. They just don't have the athletes, and I don't know if it's because he's not a good recruiter or if the Utah doesn't have enough NIL money to get good players here, a combination of the two. But whatever it is, he's the fall guy. He's got to be the guy to change it, and he hasn't done it yet.
Most definitely. And I think if his seat's getting warm, even though I said this season was a success, I think having Utah State playing as well as they did, make it to the tournament, their roster was completely made over this past off season, and they had a great season. And then the team down south, you know, they did very well in their first year in the Big 12. And I think those two schools being so close is going to add a little bit more pressure, because Utah should be the flag bearer for the state for all athletics. I think Craig Smith's got to make a change on his staff. Honestly,
Who's he letting go?
I don't want to call for people's jobs by name, but
I'm just going to pick names out of a hat?
No, I'm not like you, Scott. I'm not going to just blast people on here. Honestly, I think Burgess is the only one that's safe. And I think you need to make a change. You're going, Ryan, what you said, you're going into year four of year six. If you do not have an NCAA tournament appearance this coming season, I think you've lost the fan base forever. I don't think Craig Smith can get it back. And so I think this offseason, they've got to hit that portal and bring in some big names, some great talent that can get this team to a tournament, and you've got to make some changes in there.
The seat is hot, my friends. And I mean, in his time here at Utah, he's 50-50. He is the definition of mediocre. And yes, he has improved his win total from year over year. That's going to be hard to do going into the Big 12 next year. If he can do it, that's a huge step in the right direction. If he can get to 24, 25 wins next year, then guess what? We're going to be an NCAA team. We're going to be in the tournament next year. I'm not overly confident. Obviously, we're going to wait and see how there's still a number. They received a commitment from to Keanu Dawes from Tulsa. Kind of grew up here. Utah actually tried to get him, but he committed to Tulsa. Now he's coming here through the portal. Gabe Madsen's brother. We're going to have two man buns on the team, so that's cool. And
better than one.
There's still a number of roster spots to be filled. I think upwards of four, because we didn't use one last year because that was a bold strategy. Now, is it possible? Yeah, I think it is. But they're going to have to hit. They're going to have to hit some good, solid players in the portal. I like Craig Smith. I actually think he's a heck of a coach. He's won everywhere he's been. For some reason, whenever a successful coach gets to Utah, since Majerus, they just fall apart. And I think that has more to say with the administration and the backing and maybe even fan support. But it's a make or break year. I don't think if he doesn't make the tournament next year, you can't afford to bring him back because you're just settling even deeper into mediocrity. He's got to perform. He's got to win. I think today we stand April 16th. Still no announcements of any staff changes. So I'm not overly optimistic we're going to get any. Obviously, BYU's making a run for Burgess. If that happens, just shut the program down. Because if you can't keep Burgess, who wants to be at Utah, if you can't keep him here, when he's going to go do basically the same job at BYU, which is not the head coaching job, I mean, shut it down.
Yeah. I think the other thing is if they don't make the tournament next year, Craig Smith would be going into year five of his contract, knowing that it's probably going to be, he won't be around for much longer. And how do you recruit to a program where there are sharks in the water for your head coach?
Yeah, he's done if they don't make it next year. You've got to cut ties. And if that's where it lands, you got to look at Harlan on the decision-making process of how they got to this point, because he had Alex Jensen, he had Johnny Bryant, guys that played in the program, wanted to be here, and he chose this guy. I mean, and I'm not saying, who knows if the other guy, if they choose the other guys, if the outcome's different. The difference is you've got guys who know what it's like to play for Utah basketball and what that culture is, what the history is. That's completely different than bringing some guy in that doesn't know anything about it. And here we are going into year four with an unknown and possibly looking at a new coach next year.
So I will say I have heard that Burgess has done an incredible job at kind of bridging that gap from older players to the current program, trying to get them more invested, more excited. You want to go back to Boylan completely destroyed that. And I know that because that goes back years. But I know of a story of a former player coming and asking to come help. Like, let me come to practice. Let me be around the team. Let me help. And Boylan told him to get out. A former player who played in the NBA. And so I
was it Hunter Erickson? Because I tell him to get out too.
I know there's a lot of damage there. And I think I was a big Larry fan. I think he tried to do the best he could to kind of make amends with a lot of former players and bring them back. I think it's well noted, he and Harlan just didn't see eye to eye in a lot of things and butted heads for most their working relationship together. But I think Burgess in now, he's doing that again. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, you got to make a change on staff. And I think everyone outside of Burgess is fair game.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. If Craig Smith does not return to Utah next year, should Burgess be considered for the head coaching job?
He should. Yeah. But will Harlan go that direction? I don't see it.
I mean, but, and I don't know where I stand on this. I'll be honest. I'm curious on your guys' opinion. Dude's never been a head coach. Are you turning over your program to a guy who's never been a head coach?
Could it get any worse?
I don't know.
Like, I'm being serious. Like, I would love Burgess to be the next coach. In fact, if it came down to BYU was going to hire him, I would say fire Smith and hire Burgess as your coach right now.
If Whittingham steps down, you potentially could be replacing the head coach of both your two major sports with two guys who have no head coaching experience. I don't think Harlan does it.
I honestly think that is overrated nowadays. Needing to have that head coaching experience, I think, is overrated. There's guys that are having success in college and in pros that have never had head coaching experience, but they've been a lead assistant and they've had success instantly.
Absolutely, it can happen, but there's also no guarantee.
But there's no guarantee. Look, you even said Craig Smith has won everywhere he's gone. He's not winning here. There's no guarantee.
At some point, Kentucky
just lost their coach after he's won national championships.
Yeah, that's a different scenario. But I'm just saying. We're like single A ball compared to Kentucky right now.
I'm just saying there's no guarantee, and I just think this whole thought process is you have to get head coaching experience, or a guy with head coaching experience, I think, is overrated. Kyle Whittingham didn't have any head coaching experience, and look what he was.
And he struggled early. He did. Go. I mean, you can't. It's true. Don't look at me like that, Cam.
I will look at you like that.
Brian,
he struggled.
Did Kyle Whittingham struggle early?
Are you kidding me?
Is Ryan still part of the podcast?
I don't remember. I honestly don't. I'd have to look back at the record his first couple of years. But when we're in 2009, he went undefeated. So that wasn't too far into his tenure.
Well, I mean, it was year 5 or 4.
Yeah, it would have been year 4.
He struggled.
Are you saying he didn't?
No. Scott, be quiet.
He's alluded to the fact that he had so much to learn and those first few years were difficult.
I'm sure there were some growing pains, but they went his first year, they went to the Emerald Bowl. They beat Georgia Tech.
Those are the same type of bowls.
In the next year, they went to the Armed Forces Bowl and beat Tulsa. Like, they're not, you're right, they're not big bowls, they're not world beater teams. But his first year they go 7-5, and I think that's a successful season after losing your whole team after the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah. Okay.
At some point, someone's got to take a chance on somebody, and maybe they struggle in the first year or two. But now look, we're talking about building a statue for the dude eventually, or something, naming the field or whatever the case is. But That's how good and steady he's had this program for however many years it's been now.
I mean, he struggled when they got into the Pac-12. I won't deny that.
For sure. I mean,
but he learned.
Chris Hill was having conversations about whether he was going to retain him or not. So
yeah.
I mean, and granted, that's a jump up. But guess what? The Big 12 on the basketball side of things is a big step up.
It's going to be a big
step. If you can't win in the Pac-12, I just don't. Now, I do think the Big 12, especially this year, was a little overrated. They've got a great reputation, but no, they didn't play anybody in the preseason. out of conference. And then when it came time for the NCAA tournament, all of them melted. And but at the end of the day, from top to bottom, there's a lot of talented teams that are really traditionally really, really good. So Utah's going to have to figure some things out. I like the idea of getting somebody in here who's a Ute, who's got knows what it's like to be a Ute, who has kind of that passion for Utah basketball. And Burgess played under Majerus. You know, I mean, I'd love to give him a shot. I'd love to see Alex Jensen. Now, that's not to say you can't find a better candidate outside either, but I do think there's something to be said about getting a Utah guy who not only can rebuild the program, but may want to stay here long term and not just bail after, you know, a successful season or two. I don't want to be Utah State.
Yeah. Well, and then I think the other thing is, how attractive is this program to a head coach? Let's say it doesn't work out. If it doesn't work out with Craig Smith and they got to hire someone outside of, like,
historically, it's very attractive. But still, they're in a good conference. They've got a great reputation, and it just depends on the mindset of the coach. Are you getting somebody who says, "Man, this program has all the potential in the world. I'm going to get it back," or do you get somebody who looks at it and goes, "Nobody's been able to win there. I'm not touching it." It just depends, right? I think you need somebody who's just nasty, somebody who's just like doesn't care, like an Urban Meyer, like. That's what Urban saw. He goes, this place has all the potential in the world, but they just weren't realizing that potential. And he came in, turned everything upside down, and football program's never been the same since. And I think you need that from a basketball perspective to say, look, this place demands better, and we're going to figure out a way to get it.
Really, that's what they got when Chris Hill hired Majerus. I mean, it wasn't his first head coaching job, but he hadn't been around a ton and kind of an unknown, so to speak, and came in and just started winning.
Honestly, do you guys want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
Sure.
The basketball program's cursed. And there's a Majerus curse, and the only way to break the curse is for a Utah coach to take a bowel movement on a towel at center court during a practice. That is the only way that this curse will be broken.
I had no idea.
I wasn't going to go there. I thought you were going to say, like, eat a pizza naked.
I thought you were going to say dig up the key from his coffin.
You know what? Or yeah, you've got to do an interview with him with the coach naked in his chair.
I don't know, the lemongrass didn't work.
Oh, heavens. Gotta love basketball.
Well, if Harlan, because he's a big time listener, if you need someone to volunteer for that services, I'll give you Scott's phone number.
He's a time listener. He doesn't listen to anybody but himself.
Ooh.
Zing.
The truth will set you free.
All right, we got to hit another break. When we come back, let's talk. Spring football's over, and the transfer portal's open.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Utah wrapped up their spring football with the red and white game this past weekend. And Isaac Wilson, dude should be in high school. He's out there slinging it. He was exciting to watch.
Scott and I were out of town, so we didn't watch the game, but catching up on Twitter afterwards, definitely there was some high praise for what Isaac Wilson did out there.
I do have one tidbit on Wilson that I noticed.
Tibbet?
Is that what was it? Tibbet? What do the kids say nowadays? Have some tea?
No, the kids just say it the right way. Tibbet.
I hate you, Scott.
What do the kids say this day?
No, you say like, I got some tea.
I got some tea?
That's because you like drink tea. And
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, because you guys are old.
We're going to get kicked off this platform.
Because you guys are old. No, okay. On the broadcast, I was watching it Saturday night, and they showed Wilson on the sideline talking with teammates, you know, giving a high five, really interacting with everybody. And that night, I got a memory popped up on my phone, and I took it was a picture of our beloved Tuttle during the spring game, standing by himself. No one was interacting with him. And of course, that's kind of, you know, he was kind of always an outsider, kind of led his departure. But to me, I just thought it was awesome that here's a 17-year-old kid. He's brand new into the program, only been there a few weeks, and he's already ingrained himself in. I just think that speaks volume for him, and I think the future is bright there. But it was great seeing Cam. It was great seeing Cam run out there.
Did he, talking about Isaac, did he do enough to win the QB2? Or do you think Wayne's not going to say it because they don't want to lose out? They don't want to lose Brandon Rose in the portal before.
I mean, I think everything that people are saying out of camp is it's neck and neck. And I think at that point, you go with the younger kid, to be honest with you.
Well, Kyle did say that they may add another quarterback through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
So is that to get them at four scholarship quarterbacks, or is that to potentially replace Rose, who may be entering the portal?
I mean, I think you'd at least want another quarterback that has experience, because if Cam goes down, you're looking at guys that have never taken a snap in college football. And so whether that is an indication of Rose leaving or not, I just think you got to add some game maturity there.
I will say, you know, kudos to Kyle and the staff for not making your quarterbacks live and letting linebackers go and lacerate their livers.
Hey, even Keithy wasn't live.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
They're learning.
Kyle's getting wise in his old age, baby.
And hey, probably the biggest surprise, Gary Croton's son got some play at the end of the game.
I saw something on Twitter that said he's on the quarterback.
He has a transfer from JC. I was like, I totally forgot, but I saw Croton out there. McLeod
Croton.
I was like, that's Gary's kid. So kind of funny bringing full circle there. But no, so the transfer portal has opened up, and you know, so far some guys have left, and I think it's really maybe individuals that weren't going to be seeing playing time, and you know, they want to go where they can play. But Scott, you brought up right before we started, there's kind of a bigger impact that's leaving that I think maybe a lot of fans realize.
Well, our starting center entered the portal, which a little bit surprising. Not sure I can actually properly pronounce his name. Koliniu Fau. I'm sure that's not even close, but
that's why I made you do this.
Started 8 games at center last year. Now, granted, there's competition. I don't think it was just going to be his job regardless. But yeah, I'm kind of interested to see if we get any little information out of this. Is this because maybe he wasn't given the starting job or didn't earn it and didn't like that and wanted to go elsewhere? This will be our third consecutive center who has transferred out of the program prior to losing eligibility. So that's not a great stat. I think that needs to be fixed. They need to figure out centers, and maybe, I don't know, we just keep keep recruiting guards and sliding them to center, and maybe they don't want to be there, and that's playing a part. I don't know. Maybe it's strictly NIL, but it's not great to continue to lose your least even if he's not your starting center, a depth piece at O-line.
Mm-hmm. So with the portal opening today, you know, I kind of put on Twitter, I try not to get too high or too low with the portal, because honestly, I know it sucks to see some guys go, but then it's amazing to kind of see the talent that comes in, especially in the red and white game. We got to see Singer, who looked like his Arizona form. So those are the type of benefits you can get. You know, looking at this roster, you know, knowing that there's already been some season-ending injuries, we mentioned Kyle said that he, you know, wants to get a quarterback. Where do you guys feel that Utah should go and pull guys in from this portal?
Well, you lost the starting linebacker when DeMooney went down. So, I mean, it's not like it's not a deep position. You've got Sione Fotu, who could potentially fill that role. He's a little bit inexperienced, but maybe you go out there and look for somebody with quite a bit more experience than linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, Kyle alluded to the fact after spring that they're going to look to bring in 1 to 2 wide receivers. One wide receiver on the roster entered the portal today, which is no surprise really to anybody. Kind of a bigger recruit, but just has never been able to get on the field. I think this is his third year in the program, Sydney Abanasor. But it sounds like, don't fret, you fans, that there are some, not only things in the works, but maybe even some things that are done in regards to wide receiver coming our way. So I think we're going to be good there. I think we're going to be awesome on defense. I think you probably add another O lineman. But there's really not, I don't think, I mean, that's what's so exciting about this year, is just there's little things, maybe there's some depth pieces you wanna add. But man, the star power across the board from offense to defense is there. The schedule is there to take advantage of. Man, I cannot wait for fall. This is going to be something, man. If we can stay healthy, get rid of the injury bug that attacked the team last year, we've got a special year coming.
Certainly, yeah, definitely. Health is the biggest key right there.
I'll go as to say, health is the only thing that's going to stop this team.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I will say, watching the red and white game, it was amazing to see a quarterback throw the ball accurately more than 10 yards downfield. Even if it was Rose or Wilson, to your point, Scott, they're healthy. They have a lot of firepower. But then you look at kind of the depth that they've built over time and the depth that they've even replaced this offseason. It's better than it was last year. And I know it's a red and white game. Everyone looks amazing. But you just look at those little things and seeing Rose and Wilson being decisive and being able to throw that ball more than 10 yards, 100 times better than what we ever saw last year.
The last thought I have for this, for my part of the podcast, is this. Do you guys remember the 2007 season?
Sure.
Anything come to mind?
07 was when Johnson was out for the year.
We were riddled with injuries from the quarterback to most every position. 2007 was a lot like 2023. A lot of key guys were out for the year, and as the season went on, guys continued to go down, and our depth was tested, and guys were getting time that they probably normally would not, and the season wasn't as great as we all thought it was going to be. But getting all of those young guys experience, we saw what happened in 2008 when everybody came back and was healthy. and when you added those other guys to the mix who got experience from the year prior. I think you're going to see something similar in 2024. Everybody's going to come back, and you've got a loaded team that is just not only talent, but guys that got experience because of opportunities last year. I think 2024, tuck yourselves in, you fans. Sleep tight. The fall is going to be nuts.
Right. And Urban Meyer put us in his elite eight to win the national championship. Not to win the national championship, but it'll kind of the best eight teams that have the best chance to win the national championship.
I like it. I like it. Ryan, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Drum and Feather. Drum, the letter N, Feather.
And Scott?
You can find me at UteMan_forever.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Utah Man Podcast, and go to our home at UtahManPodcast.com. And you can find us anywhere you listen to a podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We are there. Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Go Utes will be till I die.
We're good. Let's cut it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are their own and are no way affiliated with the University of Utah.